Hi, my name is David Hanscom. I'm in a complex spine surgeon practicing in Seattle, Washington. I'm at the Swedish Neuroscience Institute, and I've been practicing complex spine surgery for about 32 years. And what has happened over the years, I've evolved in a process where we really work on preparing patients for surgery with success that we had not really anticipated. Revenue surgical patients get better. So I ended up writing two books. First one was published in 2012. The second edition was recently published. It's called Back in Control, A Surgeon's Roadmap Out of Chronic Pain. There's a website that's the action plan in the book, backincontrol.com. And between the book and the website, it's a self-directed process that we watch hundreds of patients go pain-free. So it's been a very interesting and rewarding phase of my career.
Talking today to Dr. David Hanscom about chronic pain and a lot of other things as well, I heard that since 2016, you had more than 100 patients canceled their surgery as a result of going pain-free from your method. Is that a rumor or is that fact?
That is a fact. And you know, I'm embarrassed. I have to publish a paper that we've started. I have it about half done. Mm-hmm. And what happened in my first book, I said, look, if you're feeling chronic pain and a person comes in with a bone spur, do the surgery more aggressively because people with the bone spur don't tolerate more pain. Mm-hmm. And so I did quite a bit of surgery under those circumstances. And people did reasonably well, but a lot of them didn't do so well. Then the data says if you operate in the presence of chronic pain, you can actually make it worse about 40% of the time. So about 5 years ago, our whole team decided to stop. If somebody doesn't want to prepare themselves for surgery, we simply weren't going to be the surgeons. So for about 8 to 12 weeks before every elective surgery, we work on sleep. We help people decrease stress, work on medication adjustment, anti-inflammatory diet, and stuff like that. And what happened, people come in for their final visit, and the pain was gone.
Wow.
And these are people with canals that are about a third the normal size, very tight stenosis. People easily would have done reasonably well with surgery, but since their pain was gone, they obviously we canceled the surgery. We did not anticipate that.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's
it's amazing. Been interesting. I mean, if I had to make a living on my elective surgical practice right now, I actually couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
But that's a good thing.
It is. No, it's exciting. I mean, when you do surgery for as long as I have, you realize that even the simplest operations can have complications. And people really don't understand the implications of a failed spine surgery. They just don't. Mm.
You say, interestingly, that anger and anxiety are always at the root of chronic pain.
Well, first of all, I just want to be really clear. I didn't develop this. This has actually been in the medical literature for over 60 years. So I happened to discover it with my own harsh experience. And what I've done, I've developed a structure that takes known medical treatments and organizes it in a way that people can actually understand the problem. So chronic pain is complicated. Medicine right now is throwing simplistic solutions at a complicated problem. So they can't work. So everything works a little bit, but nothing works by itself. So it's always a combination of treatments that solve the problem. And since chronic pain is complex and each person is unique, the only person that can really solve the problem is the patient. So what we found out that anxiety actually is the pain. In other words, we tend to think anxiety is a psychological issue. It's really just a chemical reaction to the environment. So the way we stay alive on this planet, we process sensory input, taste, touch, sound, etc. And we behave in a range of behaviors that keeps us safe. In other words, we're not staring at bright lights. We're not listening to super loud music. We're not walking on fire. Mm-hmm. And so the species, as we've evolved over millions of years, the species that paid attention to the neurological input stays safe. So if you have positive experiences, you have relaxation chemicals, and you feel relaxed, and if you feel uncomfortable or stressed or threatened, well, your body secretes adrenaline, cortisol, and histamines, then your body has this chemical surge, and then you feel anxious. Anxiety is that chemical surge. That's it. And so it's a result of the sensory input. It's not the cause of. So then what happens with humans, we have a major problem is that consciousness or thoughts create the same chemical reaction in the brain. I'm sorry, it goes to a similar part of the brain and creates the same chemical reaction. So if you have unpleasant thoughts, same thing. You have this chemical surge and you feel anxious. So the bottom line is as you decrease the stress chemicals, then your anxiety drops. If you want to fight it, and it's so critical to understand that because the anxiety or this unconscious response is a million times stronger than your conscious brain. So if you're using rational means to try to solve this massive survival response, you have no chance. Then the antidote to anxiety is control. In other words, you control your behavior in a way to remain safe or to avoid a threat. Then what happens is that when the situation doesn't resolve or you can't escape it, then your body kicks in more chemicals and you become angry. So anger and anxiety are the same thing. Anxiety with a chemical kick is anger. So then you're really adrenalized, and then anytime you're trapped by anything, then you become more and more angry, right?
Right.
So every human being is trapped by their thoughts. You can't escape your thoughts. And so it appears that the basis for chronic pain is this progression of thoughts as people get older. And we now know teenagers now have about an 800% increase in chronic pain compared to 20 years ago, and anxiety is rampant in this group. And again, we're trying to fight it, solve it, whatever it is, but we're losing. And the reality is that you can solve anxiety using rational means. So what we found out by just using, again, proven ways to calm down the nervous system, people's anxiety drops to the floor, and the pain drops. Because when you improve the body's chemistry, the nerve conduction improves, and you actually feel less pain. When you're anxious and frustrated, you're hyper-alert, because there's a threat, so then your nerve conduction actually doubles or triples, and so you actually feel the pain more. So you're looking really at optimizing the body's chemistry as far as actually solving chronic pain.
And, you know, just as you were speaking, you can just see the circle going around and around and around and around if you're angry and anxious and you just ramp up.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, plus if you're trapped by anything, your thoughts, number one, but also if you're trapped by the pain, then you're trapped by the medical system. You have endless hopes, your label. I mean, they estimate that the effect of chronic pain on a person's life is equivalent to terminal cancer.
One of the things that is so interesting about your method and that you're passionate about is how chronic pain affects our relationships with our family members. How does talking about our pain affect our loved ones?
Right. So the unconscious brain is not controllable. You can't control your unconscious survival response. It's not possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but your brain changes every second. It's called neuroplasticity. So we now know that the brain is a very dynamic structure. So although you can't control your thoughts and control your brain structure, control your brain, you can direct it. It's like directing a river into a different channel. So your brain's going to develop where it places attention, which I didn't realize. And by the way, we're doing an Omega workshop this summer. And we learned this in our group sessions that people talk about their pain all the time. And what it does is just wears everybody out.
Yeah.
And the problem is that's where you place your attention. So if you're my patient in the office and you're there with your spouse or partner, I say, look, when you walk out the door of my office, you will never, ever, I say ever, discuss your pain again with anybody, period, end of story. And over half the people, just their eyes open up and go, well, what do I talk about? But I found out that people in pain, and I get it, I understand it, people talk about their pain all the time. So what happens is that it wears the family out. There's actually a research paper that shows that when people in pain talk about their pain or they grab their arm or their leg or their back or their neck, they will predictably get a hostile response from their spouse. Then the patient's wearing a monitor, and the pain, of course, goes up. So there's a process called mirror neurons in that when you smile at a baby, the baby smiles back. Not because the baby's happy, but you stimulated that part of the brain. It's how we learn. It's called mirror neurons. So when you're discussing your pain and you're frustrated and you're angry, you're having a direct mirror neuron effect on your family. That's number one. So what I ask couples to do is say, look, you walk out the door, you'll never discuss your pain. Number two, I want every adult member in the family going through the book, going through the website. The website is backincontrol.com. That's the action plan of the book. And there's there's four stages, but stage one is the homework phase. Is I want everybody in the family engaged in stage one. And then the third thing, I say, look, on your way home, I want you just to remember the most enjoyable time of your relationship. When were things fun? Because in chronic pain, things aren't fun anymore. Then the final thing is that maybe the most perverse part of the human experience is that human connection is a basic human need right behind air, food, and water. And so the deeper the connection, the better, right? But the deeper the connection, the deeper the triggers. Everybody triggers each other in a family. That's just by definition. And if somebody says that they're not, that means they're actually probably not even, they're living together, but they're not really having a real relationship. So let people trigger each other. So the place where we seek the most safety, it actually turned out to be the most dangerous. And so what happens, people trigger each other. And so one of the rules is these are unconscious survival responses. It's like this cosmic battle. And people get locked in the battle. And all of us know when you're in an argument, nothing gets resolved.
Right.
And of course, it makes the pain worse. So my nurse and I call this samurai marriage counseling. We say, stop. Break it up. Stop. And it's not that easy. I mean, I get it. I get triggered also. And, you know, it's one of those things where but nothing really happens in the middle of an argument.
Right.
And so you just have to stop. And so it's remarkable. First of all, when people quit talking about their pain, the whole family is relieved. And second of all, things can become fun again. Third, once you start breaking it up, you actually have a little bit of space in your family now to start becoming creative again. Remember, you can't solve chronic pain. These are permanent survival responses. Those are memorized pathways. But you separate and you go a different direction. So you're shifting your consciousness into a part of your brain that's enjoyable. You're just having fun again. As you nurture and develop that, that's what solves chronic pain, is that you move away from the pain.
So you start talking about taking the dog to the dog park, or I've never baked a red velvet cake. Let's do that.
Right, right. Okay. And when you're upset, your claims examiner or workers comp or your doctor just told you again there's nothing they could do, you're justifiably upset. But the problem with anger is the more justified the anger, the harder it is to let go.
Yeah.
The other problem is what people don't understand, including myself for almost 15 years, is that when your body has a sustained adrenaline response, and forget about chronic pain for a second, let's just talk about anxiety. Everybody has anxiety, otherwise you can't survive. And so everybody's anxiety gets worse as they get older. There's multiple ways of sort of disguising it and covering it up, with the basic one being anger.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, anger works in a way. In other words, the more power you have, the more control you have, the less anxiety you feel. But your body doesn't necessarily believe that, because your body's full of adrenaline. So there's over 30 physical symptoms that come out when you have sustained adrenaline response. And so, and I had 16 of them at the same time. I had migraine headaches. I had ringing in my ears, back pain, neck pain, burning in my feet, stomach issues, insomnia, extreme anxiety, depression. All those things are driven by the sustained adrenaline response. So again, as you start calming down the chemistry, the anxiety drops to the floor. So that's been the most enjoyable part of the practice, is that with the family issues, is that we can do injections and physical therapy and all sorts of stuff. But if we don't address the family triggers, that just wipes everything out. The other thing that's become quite apparent is that every couple gets triggered. That's 100%. But in chronic pain, it's pretty intense. It's really, really intense. These people's families are absolutely miserable. I just read one headline that they estimate there's 34 million children that are being exposed to toxic stress in the family. 34 million.
And you have a workshop to help people get out of pain. It's called the Omega Workshop. Tell me about that. Where, how?
Well, the Omega Institute is in Rhinebeck, New York. It's a 200-acre estate that has different people coming in and doing seminars and workshops. And I started this about 6 years ago, and on June 29th to July 1st, it's Friday evening, all day Saturday, and half a day Sunday. And what we found out, just in that short period of time, we're not trying to teach about chronic pain. We're trying to have people experience feeling safe. So we have a lot of structure. My wife's a professional tap dancer. She teaches us rhythm and simple exercises.
Oh.
Then my daughter is an expressive arts therapist, and a lot of relaxation exercises and sharing. And the participants describe it's like being in an adult summer camp. And in that short period of time, over half the people completely go out of chronic pain. And the first thing I say, look, you're going back to your home, you're going back to your family, you're going back to your triggers, you're going to be triggered again, and they are, but they've now experienced what it's like to be free of pain, and they find they now have the tools to get back to that spot. And it's been remarkable. We've learned so much from that workshop. It's been an incredible impact on me personally each time I do this. But we have lots of people that have been right on the cusp of getting better. So I do limit the workshop to people who have actually read the book, done the website to some degree. They don't have to be perfect by any means, but it's there to actually just to experience what it's like to be free of pain.
And that's June 29th through July 1st?
Correct.
How do you find my website?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you go to my website, backincontrol.com, it's listed on the website on the calendar. It's also in the Omega Institute catalog. And it's been a really remarkable experience. It's been unbelievable.
Well, you know, just thinking about it, how can you be angry or anxious when you're tap dancing?
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah, I just actually talked to a friend of mine last night with dinner who does medical hypnosis. He's an internist. He's been doing medical hypnosis now for about 15 years. And hypnosis is something where you tend to think of the TV shows and whatever, but what hypnosis is just simply being totally engaged in what you're doing. So if you're reading a good book and somebody talks to you, you may not hear them, or you're engaged in building a car or a motorcycle, whatever you do, all it is focused attention. It has nothing to do with the TV version of mind control because you can't really control your mind. So it's just a way of learning to be focused on what you're doing at the moment. And when your brain's on that activity, your brain's not on the pain pathways. And most people will tell you really quickly, if you point it out to them, that when you're involved in something that you enjoy, you aren't feeling the pain. But when we learned this in the Omega workshop, I had no idea how much people talked about their pain. And it just wears everybody out, wears them out, wears their family out, and it just really is a negative. So we're finding out that the family issues are the most powerful thing that keeps people in the chronic pain hole. But it's also incredible how quickly it pulls people out of the hole. Once you understand the paradigm, and people go, oh, yeah, I get it. I'm not going to solve this one. Really, we don't really solve anything in an argument. And they just start working on it. And once you come out of the, what I call the abyss of chronic pain, which, again, is never perfect, but then you start being creative. You have family meetings. What can we do to have fun? What hobbies can we reengage in? What family activities can we do? And people just start having fun. And same thing with the kids. I mean, the poor children are exposed to this ongoing chronic anger, and it's toxic. It's not fun to go home. And so one piece of advice I give the parents, say, look, what I want you to do with your kids for a month is not give one piece of advice. Just listen. And the other thing is play. I mean, kids are going to learn what they're going to learn. They're not going to, quote, learn anything, you know, from preaching at them. And so that's been a remarkable experience, too. So it's been really, really rewarding for me to watch these families come back to life again.
That's fabulous. Fabulous. Okay. All right. Well, let me make sure I got everything.